Well, very good. And we welcome back our pilgrim there who's been to France. Very good. Good to see Molly safely back with us. Now, our pilgrim, pèlerin, I suppose we should say in French there. We won't go off in that again. Pilgrim's Progress. Well, where had we got to? Where were we approaching the last time? What notable place are we coming near to? Well, Timothy.
Vanity Fair.
Vanity Fair. A city of vanity, which holds there day after day a fair. Well, faithful and Christian are now out to the wilderness and they're heading towards this place. But evangelist comes, first of all, to encourage them. He's got some words of instruction for them and exhortation. In other words, to spur them on. Stir them up if they're kind of getting a little bit complacent. That's always good, isn't it? That's what the Bible does, preaching does, to exhort us all. We all need exhorting. I need it. You need it. Otherwise, we can become very lethargic or careless. So it stirs us up again. No, let's move on. And so evangelist comes alongside them and he hears of what's happened to them and their ups and downs and how the Lord had been with them and kept them and warned them about various people. Who did we have last time there, 2 weeks ago, who wasn't quite all he seemed to be, was he, Stanley? Talkative. Talked a good game, but when it came to it, Faithful asked him some leading questions, and he really just got rather irate. Asking me about how I came to know the Lord and what these things mean to me, what it's done to change my life. Oh, don't be coming in with all this. And so he'd marched off, hadn't he, then? Very disgruntled. Well, they'd seen through him, they'd seen through a few other people, they'd come through a few trials, and evangelist says, good, you've learnt through this, you've learnt when you've gone wrong, your mistakes. So keep your eyes fixed on heaven. Keep moving there forward with your eyes on the invisible. So, isn't it? The invisible. We talk about this kingdom, we talk about heaven, we talk about God, immortal, invisible. We can't see these things, can we? We can't see these spiritual beings. No, we believe. And these are more important than anything that the world can give. Riches, fortunes, fame, more important. That's going to be important for Faithful and Christian shortly. So there is evangelist telling them these things. Telling them also, well, you've come through some battles, but you're not out of gunshot of the devil. You're not. And there's a test coming up. An evangelist says, one of you is going to die in this place that you're coming to, vanity. One of you is going to die there. But that's going to mean they get to the celestial city quicker. And so they heard that, and I guess they heard the positive there as well as this other part, that one of them's going to die, and then come to the city. And there it is. And on offer is everything that you might think in one sense you might want. Riches and fame and fortune, all of it on sale. Traders there with their stalls selling you these things. Honor, prestige, property, money, plenty of things. Oh, the fulfillment of all your lusts and desires. All of it on sale. Leisures and pleasures. Every conceivable thing. And there it all is. There are these traders there selling their wares. Well, of course, this has been the undoing of many. They've got there, it's been too much for them. They might have been on pilgrimage, but this now, gotta have this stuff. Well, the Prince of Peace, they understand, has already gone through there. He passed through, and he didn't touch any of it. He didn't fall for any of it. He passed through. He had to go through there in this life. Who's the Prince of Peace? Who is the Prince of Peace? Who's the Prince of Peace? There's a hand being helped here. Molly, it is, isn't it? It's the Lord Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He's walked that way because he's had to go the same way that we go. He has not been spared being in this world here and just sort of floated through it, untouched by what people say and what they offer to him. Because, of course, the devil offered him all the nations, all these kingdoms, if he would bow down and worship him. He'd be gone. He wouldn't hear that, would he? And the devil had to flee from him. Because ultimately, it's the devil who's the master, the manager of this big fair. He's the one who's the mastermind behind it all and who's offering all these wares through his agents. So in come Christian and Faithful. And the people of the market there look at them. "It's a bit strange," they say. "Look at how they're dressed. That's different. That's different to us. Why do they do that differently? Or listen to their language. They're not from round these parts here. They're talking about different things, and they're totally different to us. What have they come to do? They're a bit strange. Are they troublemakers?" And so they were looking at them, wondering about them and everything about them. And they didn't show any interest in buying and selling or having any involvement in any of the things that they had there on sale. And they'd offer their things. They didn't show any interest in them at all. And instead, they looked up to heaven. And so some of the people were a little bit affronted by this, a little bit cross with them. What are they doing? What are they about here? It sounds familiar, doesn't it? John Bunyan there. He knew the world. He knew what it was about. He knew the devil. And he has his bait for us there, doesn't he? And it's the same today, isn't it? Have you found that? Are you trying to live there, an upright life for the Lord Jesus? You may not even be converted yet. But you're not wanting to go for this or go for that because you can see there's danger. You're listening to your parents, perhaps, and you're listening to what you hear here in church, and you're thinking, I'm not going to go that way. I don't understand it all, but I know that stuff is wrong, and I'm going to try at least here to understand and to keep my life in check. I'm not going to go racing off for this bad language or whatever it might be. I'm keeping my life sort of sorted and under control here. Good. And Faithful and Christian are showing us that's the way. That's the way. Vanity Fair, it's today's world, isn't it? It's everywhere around us. We hear about it, we see it, smell it. It's everywhere. So there they were, keeping on going, keeping on going. So this was causing a stir. And they said, well, what do you want to buy here? And they said, there's only one thing we buy, the truth. So we're interested in the truth. And they're saying, in effect, we don't see it here. There's nothing here that interests us in your fair. And so they were just getting very, very cross with them and very, very annoyed with them. And that was it. They'd had enough. The ruler of the market was informed. And he came along and he heard about this commotion that these two men were causing. So at least they were being accused of causing. Right, we're going to take them before the ruler here. And he's going to ask them some questions. So he does. And he hears about this buying only the truth. And this he doesn't like at all. So he has them whipped, covered in mud. And then he puts them in an iron cage. And everybody in the whole Vanity Fair laughs at them and points at them. And look at them there. How do you think they reacted? How do you think they reacted? Any thoughts on that? How do they react? Shake the cage. They start shouting back at them, do you think? Do you think they did? You know, I should see some head shaking there. I'll shake my head for you in that case. No, they didn't. They didn't. They behaved very carefully. And they didn't shout back. And they didn't start trading insults. They really behaved themselves so well, under all that pressure, all that provocation, we would say, people are trying to get a reaction from them. Does that sound familiar today? Does that sound a bit familiar to non-Christians? Give us a poke there in one way or another, an insult or two, joke, trying to get a reaction, you know. There they were in this cage, and some people looked at that reaction, or lack of it, and they really were impressed. And they became followers, actually. But that instead just got even more of an uproar going, and people were crossed out because they're having an effect on some of their sort of former colleagues. So anyway, eventually they're allowed out. They're allowed to walk back into the marketplace and proceed through. But then there was another uproar. More people were complaining about them, and so they're troublemakers. That's what they're doing. They're here to cause trouble. They're here to cause trouble. People say that about us today. Here we are, we're troublemakers. Keep mentioning it, actually. Mention it. That's what people out there think. We're troublemakers. We're wanting to have political power and run the council and run the government and probably run the EU and everything else they reckon we want to do. And they think we're troublemakers. That's it. We're hungry for power. We want to be able, don't we, to live our lives quietly here and do what God tells us to do and live in that way peaceably with all men. And we're not here to start wars and to start difficulties there for people. They're the ones that cause the difficulties for us. And this is what Vanity Fair was about. So again, the ruler took them back in again. And he was very stern with them, worse with them, gave them more of a flogging this time. Back in the iron cage, and they were marched around Vanity Fair for people to see and laugh at. Except again, they just didn't react. They just kept quiet, kept calm under that. Ask God for help. This was remarkable, wasn't it? Ask God for help when you're coming under that kind of pressure. Ask him for the grace to be able to remain calm and be able to keep that witness there, because again, it had an effect. And more people saw this and thought, that's remarkable. And they changed their minds about being part of Vanity Fair. And they too became followers there and on their way to Celestial City. So we're there, right in the middle of Vanity Fair, right in the middle of all this pressure that's going on around them, about them. So God willing, next week, we'll see a little bit more about their experiences in Vanity Fair. Our next hymn now, 268, at the name of Jesus, 268.